Hi everyone, we today are reading 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and we'll read from verses 10 through 16. For godly grief produces repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. For see what earnestness this godly grief has produced in you, but also what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what punishment. At every point you have proved yourselves innocent in the matter. So although I wrote to you, it was not for the sake of the one who did the wrong, nor for the sake of the one who suffered the wrong, but in order that your earnestness for us might be revealed to you in the sight of God. Therefore we are comforted. And besides your own comfort, we rejoice still more at the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. For whatever boast I made to him about you, I was not put to shame. But just as everything we said to you was true, so also our boasting before Titus has proved true. And his affection for you is even greater, as he remembers the obedience of you all, how you received him with fear and trembling. I rejoice because I have complete confidence in you. All right, so in this passage, Paul continues to do, again, share these personal words to the church about his confidence in them, his boasting in them, and just how some of that was just how they rejoiced because of what Titus told Paul and Paul's friends that he was with. And so he's talking about the good things that he's hearing about this church. Now there's some difficult stuff too, and that's why he's in this place of proving himself and talking about explaining himself throughout this book. But here he's highlighting, hey, there's some great things that happened, and kind of course off the heels of yesterday's passage, the main idea of this whole passage really is here in verse 10, where it's godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret. And then the second part of that verse says, whereas worldly grief produces death. Godly grief produces repentance that leads to salvation without regret, but worldly grief produces death. This is, of course, the main idea of this passage here. Now, it's interesting, he creates this dichotomy between this distinction between worldly grief and godly grief. Now, godly grief, I think, is very understandable here. It's what leads to repentance, salvation, without regret, right? That without regret means that this worldly grief, whatever he's talking about, there is regret of some sort. So what would worldly grief be? This is worldly grief. It would be anything that causes you to feel grief or pain or sorrow, but it leads to regret when you act upon it, right? So it's something, it's a grief that is of shame, that you messed up and you feel ashamed, you can't tell anyone, or you feel this guilt deep inside and a fear of punishment. You feel this inadequacy because you haven't lived up to the standards of the world. That's worldly grief. This is what leads to regret, because when we live out of a worldly grief, it leads us to go deeper and deeper into it, to a place of shame or guilt or inadequacy. Whereas godly grief, where we feel bad about something, where we feel this pain of something we've done wrong, if it's a godly grief, it leads to repentance, it leads to a turning back to God. It leads to salvation, is what he says. Ultimately, it leads to Jesus, his grace, his acceptance, and his love. And so a simple message I have for us is, how do we get godly grief? Are we in a place where we're receiving godly grief? Because this world has a lot of grief to offer us, if you think about it. Comparison with one another, ways that we're going to mess up, ways that we don't measure up. And it just leads to regret and pain and shame, guilt, and inadequacy. But we need to be in a place where we continue to receive godly grief, in a sense. And the way you do that is in community. And that's what Paul's kind of pointing out here, is that he produced that grief in them by his challenging them, by his rebuking this church. And that's what we need too. We need to be in a community. We need to be in a place where people can speak truth into our lives to challenge us, even if it hurts us. But that hurt, it's not meant to just make us feel bad or lead to shame or guilt. It's meant to bring us to repentance. It's to challenge us to come back to Jesus. Now, none of us wants one's grief But godly grief is necessary because we're not perfect and we're going to struggle. And that's why we need one another. That's why we need a community. We need help from our brothers and sisters to be to draw closer to Jesus. And so as we close out this day, let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray that we can be in a place of humility and receiving of the rebuke and the challenges of others. And let's pray that as we receive that we will experience a godly grief that leads to like being with Jesus. And let's also pray for the boldness for ourselves to challenge others, to produce godly grief in others. With wisdom, we need a lot of wisdom, and with a lot of love. Let's pray that. Jesus, we are challenged by this idea of grief. It's not something we want to experience. But Lord, we pray that we can receive it from one another, within our body, within this church. Not because we want to make each other feel bad, but because we want to know you, Jesus, more and more. We want to experience the joy of your salvation, the joy of being with you, God. Bless us, Lord, move in us, and I pray that we will mutually be challenging and helping one another to draw close to you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We love you. In your name we pray.